Well, today is, in the church calendar, Trinity Sunday. It doesn't quite have the flair and the cachet of, you know, Christmas or Easter. I'm not sure how many of you even came to church this morning knowing it's Trinity Sunday. Probably not many of us. But nonetheless, it is an important Sunday in the church year. It reminds us of the nature of God. That God is one, and yet three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, this is not the easiest thing for us to wrap our minds around, right? How is God one, and yet three persons at the same time? Our confirmation classes always wrestle with this a little bit. And Derek, if you could put that up on the screen. All right. So this is the fun diagram that we look at in confirmation. You have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but the Father is not the Holy Spirit, is not the Son, is not the Father. Somehow, this is what God has revealed about himself in Scripture. One God, three persons. Now, I don't know, you can take it down now, Derek. I don't know how often you meditate on that. Or ponder its mysteries, or use it in your daily devotions. Because we don't really grasp it completely. It's mysterious. But what I want to do this morning is to look at how the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, actually touches our lives. How it matters. How it intersects with us. And Paul does this in a fantastic way in Romans chapter 8, in the verses that we heard read, starting in verse 9, I believe. Because throughout this passage, we see the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work in the salvation story. One of the key tenets in Orthodox thinking about the Trinity, is that what one person of the Trinity is doing, all of them are doing, it's a cooperative thing. The Godhead, three in one, is a relationship. And so when the Father is doing something, the Holy Spirit and the Son are participating as well. They work together. There's no maverick of the Trinity that kind of goes off and does its own thing. It's cooperation. It's working together. It's integration. And so it's amazing to think about the fact that when the Son came incarnate, he did not do that on his own. It had to be in concert with the will of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. What do we hear in the Nativity story, right? The Father proclaims the Father's will. The power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes upon Mary. And who is born? The Son. At every turn throughout the salvation story, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are working together. The same thing when it comes to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was the Father's will that Jesus was trying to be obedient to. And it was the power and the will of the Father that raised Jesus from the dead and put a stamp of approval on Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. And in all of this, Jesus is cooperating. The Father and the Holy Spirit are cooperating with each other to take on death and the devil. But when it comes to what Paul has to say here, when he talks about when we become people who are following after the Spirit, is that we become adopted into God's family. So the story of the Trinity here starts with a story of relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the whole trajectory of Scripture points toward God wanting to integrate, wanting to add to God's family. The relationship in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was a good thing. It was so good that God wanted to share that And so God made human beings. Well, we know the story, right? Human beings were sinful. And so God needed to find a way to save his creation, to save his people. And so Jesus came, being willing to die on our behalf. And so the story of the Trinity is not just something that's far off, academic, and unconcerned. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is active in your very salvation, in your adoption as children of God. In fact, Paul says here, we don't even have to take his word for it that we're children of God. He said it's the very Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who is convincing us that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit within us testifies to the fact, yes, you are children of God, and so guess what you can do? Just as Jesus did. Address the Father, the creator of the universe, the master of the galaxies, the one sitting enthroned surrounded by cherubim and seraphim, as Daddy. Abba, Father. Now come on. Would you ever dare to do that? Think about any story in Scripture. Think about Isaiah when he comes into the throne room with God. He's like, whoa, let a boulder fall on top of me, please. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live with people of unclean lips. I cannot even be in your presence. He is so afraid. This is the same God from the book of Revelation that's envisioned on a throne surrounded by a sea of glass with peals of thunder and flashes of lightning and wrapped in a rainbow. The very creator of everything that is and ever will be wants you to call him Daddy. The very God of the universe came down and inhabited flesh, suffered on behalf of human beings so that we could enjoy relationship with him. The Trinity is not just some kind of strange theological concept meant for scholars and dusty rooms with stacks of books all over the place. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity has been active from the beginning and is active yet today, and the very Spirit of God is testifying in your hearts to say, you are my child. You are my child. Richard Lisher wrote in his book, The End of Words, in terms of stories that we can never get tired of hearing about. And there was a story about how according to the Spirit, get to call God Abba. And he made the argument that this should be one of those stories that we never get tired of hearing. And so here's a quote from his book. When the adopted child repeatedly asks her parents to recount the events surrounding her adoption, the story must remain the same. And woe to the one who introduces omissions or changes in the sacred formula. And then out of all the babies in the orphanage, you chose me, right? Could parents ever tire of telling that story? Would they ever dare to substitute another one for it? If telling God's story strikes us as repetitious, that's because it is. It's repetitious the way the Eucharist, the Lord's table, is repetitious. The way our favorite melody or gestures of love are repetitious. The way the mercies of God that come unbidden every day are repetitious. This is the key part of the quote. Such stories do not entertain, they do something far better. they sustain. They do not inform, they form those who hear them for a life of faithfulness. And so I want to include this telling and retelling about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. It's a story we need to be told over and over and over again because it forms us. It sustains us. The story of the Trinity, the revelation of how God is and who God is, reminds us that our God is a God of relationship, a God who loves us, that was willing to give up everything to save us, and has now deposited the Holy Spirit so that you can't forget that in Christ we belong to Him. We are part of God's family. And so we share in the same glory that is Christ's glory, that is the resurrection. But then, as we often have in Scripture, there's balance to it, right? If we share in Christ's glories, we will also share in Christ's sufferings. So to be a part of God's family means glory, it means resurrection, it means life with God. But in the here and now, it may also mean suffering. And that does not take an ounce away from your sonship or daughtership in the family of God. It's kind of a part of what it is. It's what was revealed in Jesus Christ as Lord. So I hope on this Trinity Sunday, you have a little closer idea. You have a little more tangible notion. Even if you can't wrap your mind around the mystery of how that all works, that God is three in one, that you know how God three in one matters to you as children of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, our minds are incapable of grasping your fullness. And yet you have revealed yourself to us as Abba Father, in the Son through his love and grace and death and resurrection, and through the power of your Spirit who indwells us now. God, may we rest in that truth. May we hear that story told over and over again. May it form us, may it sustain us for your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen.